Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but even though you think all this talk about Jesus forgiving our sins sounds good on his face, you are of the opinion that certain sins God does not forgive, no matter what you read in the Bible, and you're very frightened that you yourself may have committed one of these certain sins. Well, be at ease, my friend, because you're wrong. And in this case, you should be happy to be wrong, because God will forgive you no matter what you've done. Let me say that again. God will forgive you no matter what you've done, provided you ask for his forgiveness and allow him to work in your life to give you a fresh new start. However, and this is very important, I will admit that sometimes the church tends to isolate certain practices to the point where even if somebody believed they were being forgiven by God, they're not as sure they'd be accepted in the church. One such practice is the practice of abortion. If you were ever made to feel that way, let me quickly tell you, today you are accepted right now. No, I don't condone the practice, but if you have had an abortion, I am not here to condemn you either, but rather to talk about God's forgiveness. And yet, for the most part, you will not be hearing from me today as much about forgiveness. Instead, I am joined once again by my lovely and courageous wife. Say hello to Dana Siegel.
Hello. It's going to be interesting being here again. I usually want to say it's going to be great to be here, looking forward to the show, but this topic is just one that is still difficult, and yet I know it's critically important, and we have some really good things for our listeners and some hope by the end of the show.
Well, we did talk about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, where you mentioned a special retreat coming up, but we're getting closer to it now. Mm-hmm. So today we wanted to dedicate a whole show to it.
Yes. And I appreciate that so much, Bob, because we did a show similar to this about a year and a half ago
before the last retreat. And you did a wonderful job, I should say. I heard from everybody what a fantastic job you did.
Thank you. And that show is still on your website if people want to go back and listen to that. This one will be different. So between the two, it will give you quite a bit of information and support on this topic. And I just want to say at the top of our show, it's my intent to give hope and encouragement that healing can happen for any woman who has experienced abortion. If you've had an abortion, whether you're a man or a woman, men participate in abortion, certainly. Please do stay with our show. Don't change the station, turn it off, walk away. I know that you will be encouraged by the end of the show. And I know this is a very difficult topic for those of you that have an abortion experience in your past. I also want to reassure our listeners right at the beginning here that anyone who's had an abortion, your baby is in heaven in the care of our Heavenly Father. Your baby is in the very best place they can be. And that sometimes we don't think about. We just think about the loss and the hurt and the pain on this
and
side.
Probably the little toddlers up there behave themselves, don't they?
They say it's a perfect place. We shall see. So our babies are okay. God has been taking care of them. And I also want to encourage people who have not personally been involved in an abortion, I ask that you listen to our show and stay tuned, because you know someone who has had an abortion, even if no one's ever told you that. How do I know that? Because statistics say that 1/3 of American women have had one or more abortions. So 1 out of 3 women. So it's very likely that in your circle of influence, a third of the females that you know may have experienced abortion, and that includes the church. We cannot leave the church out of this equation.
Exactly. It includes people that you're around who you're thinking would not have had one.
Yes. So we're all touched by abortion, and it's had a great impact on our country. I know oftentimes we think about the loss of the baby's life as the major impact from abortion, which it is, but that isn't the whole story. And I'm here today to share that there is another major impact that goes on in the life of the woman and the man that makes this choice. It has a devastating effect on them. The topic of abortion is a difficult topic for anyone who's experienced it. It's difficult to listen to. It's difficult to process, and it's hard to stay calm about it. I know this from experience, that oftentimes when you just hear the word, it makes you uncomfortable. It used to make me angry. It can make you cry, and you can even have a physical reaction in your body. I often had strong physical reactions whenever the topic came up. So as the show progresses, I will be sharing some of my story. But from the very beginning, I just want to encourage all of our listeners, whether you've participated in an abortion or you aren't even sure you know anyone that's had one, please stay with us and learn more tonight and pray for the women that we are going to be hosting at our healing retreat about 1 month from now.
And the reason we're doing this 1 month from now is it takes people about a month to get up the courage to go to these things.
It is. It's a very difficult thing to choose. We want to hide. It's definitely something that everyone wants to keep a secret. It's not a conversation piece at a luncheon or a little get together or tea with your friend. This topic does not come up and people do not share it easily.
So we're giving you a month to decide. So if you're deciding today that there's no way you're going, that's fine. But tomorrow get up and think about it and maybe you'll decide something different.
Yes. So we're talking about this so that people do have time to process it. And I'm just praying that you will join us. I know God's already picked out the women that he's intended, and I hope he's working on your heart, and you're one of the women that we will be meeting, and I will have the great honor of getting to know you and being able to walk this journey together.
And you're going to be sharing later on some of the experiences that people had on your first retreat.
I will be sharing some things, yes. I want to make sure everybody knows the retreat is a very confidential situation. We're in a private meeting hall. We're in a special place on our own, and only women who have experienced abortions come to this retreat. No one else is allowed to be there. So we all have that common understanding. And, so I want to assure people from the very beginning that it is a very, very safe place. And we work hard to make sure that you are protected and taken care of and loved and supported through this process. Before we go any further, I just want to share a few more statistics about abortion because I think a lot of people don't realize how prevalent it is. One out of three women, statistically, they say, have had an abortion in our country. They say that approximately 47% of the women that get an abortion each year in our country have had previous abortions. So almost half of the women that get an abortion have had one before. This one was a very sobering statistic. Most women that get an abortion in the United States claim to be Christians. Protestant women are 42% of those women. Catholic women, 27%. That's the majority of the women in the United States say they are Christians when they do this. I was a Christian woman at the time I chose this. I was raised in a Christian home. I attended church all my life. I asked Jesus into my heart at 9 years old, and I chose abortion because I didn't see any other way I could handle a pregnancy outside of marriage. Just a few more statistics about abortion. Ever since Roe versus Wade in 1973 was passed or became legal, the number of abortions in the United States doubled in the next 6 years between when Roe versus Wade went through and 1979. It peaked in 1990 in our country. And then there's been a slow but a steady decline through the 90s. And overall, that decline has continued. In 2012, it's estimated there were over 1 million abortions And this 2014 statistic said we were just under 1 million abortions. There are no statistics out yet for 2015. And what's another interesting thing as we just take in that information is that 4 to 5 of the states in our country do not have mandated reporting about abortions. California is one of them. So factor that in. We don't really know all the statistics from California and a few other states. Unmarried women account for 85% of all abortions. That certainly was my case. And then it says that there's multiple reasons why a woman would choose abortion. I know if you're someone who's never had an abortion, not ever known someone who had and you haven't had a dialogue with someone about it, I know it's hard to understand what could the person be thinking that chose to have an abortion. But here are the main reasons that people do give when they're choosing to have an abortion. They say that a baby would interfere with work, school, or other responsibilities. Oftentimes women are much younger and they're in college or their education or they're in training. And it would be very difficult to have a baby during that time. Many say they cannot afford a child. Many say that they don't want to be a single parent or they're having trouble with their partner or husband. So they are feeling like a baby would just add more stress to that relationship. Those are three of the main reasons that women might choose abortion. And there's a lot that goes into that. When a woman is growing up, when she is in her childhood, many things can happen. It isn't just a once in a moment decision. It is a building up of what may have occurred all through their upbringing and that brought them to that place. So I'm just going to let Bob talk about how a woman might come to a place where an abortion might be a consideration.
Well, yes, there can be many reasons leading up to an abortion, and such a thing usually is not done in isolation. Often it's related to those who feel no personal self-worth, who might have gotten into a wrong relationship, maybe even an abusive relationship. So why do people get into the wrong kinds of relationships? Usually because they feel unlovable. And if somebody feels unlovable, they'll settle for anybody who accepts them. Somewhere along the way, somebody in your life may have given you a signal, maybe unintentionally, but they still somehow gave you that signal that you're not good looking, you're not pretty, or you're not special, or you're not worth loving. Maybe growing up, you had parents who didn't seem to care about you, who loved you conditionally. In some cases, that might have been true. In other cases, they might have loved you a lot more than they realized or than you realized, but they were flawed too. And in their imperfections, they fell short of expressing that love properly. They failed to give you the encouragement you needed. Maybe they were cold and unaffectionate. Maybe they led you to believe that their love for you was conditional, dependent upon your achievements, like what kind of grades you got in school or whether you were excelling in sports or some other hobby. Maybe they were absent from the scene a lot. Maybe you were raised by only one parent and you have no idea why the other one abandoned you. This kind of childhood purgatory is common, but it's extremely lonely and extremely heart-wrenching and emotionally painful. Now, one of the best songs ever written to reflect such a background comes from the popular musical A Chorus Line, which a few years ago received some special contemporary attention when a brand new production was part of the hit television program Glee. And in this number, three different women sing about their childhoods and how their only refuge, their only escape, was attending a beautiful ballet where life seemed as it should be. Now, the real deliverer of life, of course, is God. But when you did not yet know God, you might have turned to something else. And that was very understandable. You might have turned to something else. Maybe the ballet. Maybe for you it was some personal place. I'm guessing that many of you out there can relate to these three women. So here from the television program Glee, a number from A Chorus Line, Everything Was Beautiful at the Ballet.
Daddy always thought that he married beneath him. That's what he said, that's what he said. When he proposed, he informed my mother it was probably her very last chance. And though she was 22, though she was 22, though she was 22, she married him. Life with my dad wasn't ever a picnic, more like a come as you are. When I was 5, I remember my mother dug earrings out of the car. I knew that they weren't hers, but it wasn't something you want to discuss. He wasn't warm. Well, not to her. Well, not to us. But everything was beautiful at the ballet. Graceful men lift lovely girls in white. Yes, everything was beautiful at the ballet. I was happy at the ballet. That's when I started ballet class. Special something and a very, very personal flair. And though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, I hated her. Now different is nice, but it sure isn't pretty. Pretty is what it's about. I never met anyone who was different, who couldn't figure that out. So clear, if not to her, well then to me, that everyone is beautiful at the ballet.
Every prince has got to have his one.
Yes, everyone is beautiful at the ballet. I was the ballet. I was born to save their marriage. But when my father came to pick my mother up at the hospital, he said, "Well, I thought this was going to help, but I guess not." A few months later, he left. And he never came back. Anyway, I had this fantastic fantasy life. I used to dance around the living room with my arms up like this. And in my fantasy, there was an Indian chief. And he would say to me, "Izzy, do you want to dance?" And I would say, "Daddy, I would love to dance."
Indian chief, and he'd say, "Izzy, do you wanna dance?"
As we just heard in the song, there is often trauma in the woman's childhood that can lead a woman to a place where abortion is a consideration. I would say the greatest myth about abortion is that it is a simple, routine medical procedure. The truth about abortion is that it creates great devastation in a woman's life. 85% of the women that have chosen abortion say that it had a great impact on their life. 78% of women report that their self-image changed after abortion. 67% thought that their life would stay the same after abortion. Those things are not true. It did have a great impact on my life. My self-image did change drastically. I felt great guilt and condemnation afterwards. I did not have any idea that the abortion would have such an impact on my life. The pain of that decision increased over the years, and it was definitely the biggest mistake of my life. My situation was many, many years ago, more than 3 decades. I was halfway through college earning my degree in teaching credential when I found myself pregnant as a single woman. I worked with elementary children during after school programs, caring for them. I was a youth group leader for our church high school group. And during the summers, I worked at Forest Home. And Forest Home was one of the largest Christian camps in the country at the time. I was immersed in all of these Christian worlds, but I absolutely could not see how my church would understand, let alone accept the fact that I was pregnant outside of marriage. I didn't see how Forest Home would be able to handle the situation. And most importantly, I did not believe my parents would be able to understand. I really didn't believe I had a choice. And so, incorrectly, I assumed that if I quietly had an abortion, the unwanted pregnancy would be over and I would be able to continue my life as planned and no one would ever know. I did not realize that that decision would put in motion so many devastating things in my life. What I also didn't realize at that time was that the things that were to happen in my life, I didn't realize until many years later became a part of the devastation. Okay, and well, I will share more of that after the break.
We'll be right back.
Trust the care of your children to others. It's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Bob Siegel's latest novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel, and we are doing a special show today to talk about abortion and the healing that God can bring for you, and a very special opportunity we have in about a month coming up. One of the reasons abortion is so difficult, especially in our country, is that women who've had an abortion are not really allowed or encouraged to grieve. We just make the decision. We tell ourselves it's a medical procedure. We go numb inside, and we don't allow ourselves to think about it. And we push the pain down year after year, just hoping that it will go away. But there is the part about the shame and the guilt and the self-loathing that a woman feels that just puts abortion in a category of its own. When I really thought about the fact that abortion murders an innocent baby, I could not help but feel great remorse, regret, and pain for that decision. But I did not allow myself to think that until many, many years later. I kept it hidden deep inside. And there are some verses that speak to that. Psalm 32, 3 and 4 said, "I kept silent about my sin. My body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer." Just keeping that sin inside and ignoring it and letting it just fester in you can just literally cause your body to waste away. Proverbs 14:3 says, "Laughter cannot mask a heavy heart. When the laughter ends, the grief remains." My wasting away was in the form of concealing the secret of abortion, and the experience itself came in the form of self-harming behaviors. As I shared earlier, I developed an eating disorder. I got into extreme exercising, trying to atone for the choice that I'd made. I thought if I could just punish myself physically for the decision to end my baby's life, I could pay back for what I had done. But there really was nothing I could do to pay back. Nothing was going to bring my baby's life back to me on this side of heaven. I would like to clarify here, though, that it wasn't as if my life was in shambles. I had married, I had three children, I had a fulfilling teaching career, and most people looking at me probably would have thought my life was pretty together and happy. And on the outside, it appeared like I had it all going on. It's what was going on the inside that was a mess and kept me from being released from the bondage of the sin of abortion. I really wasn't free to receive God's best for me because I could not forgive myself. God's grace and forgiveness are free and undeserving, but I was trying to earn it and I was trying to atone for it. All I really had to do was receive it. But the problem is, when you've chosen abortion, you don't feel as if you can allow yourself to get past it. I felt a part of me that if I didn't continue to feel great pain and regret over my decision, that I wasn't honoring my baby's life. But there are ways to come before God and ask for his forgiveness and go through a process to really receive healing so that you can move on and be released from the bondage. Satan wants to keep us right there. He wants to keep us heavy and under the guilt so that we can't be effective for God. And that's where I was for many, many years. It says Romans 8, 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Very encouraging scripture there. In Psalms 130, 3 and 4, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Jeremiah 30, 17, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Amen. God is waiting to heal us. He is waiting to give us his restoration and then be able to use us to help others. The good news is that God already knows about your abortion decision, and he's waiting for you to come to him for the healing and restoration he can give. Only he can heal you of this pain. We're going to play a song now about what we need to do, which is just be honest with ourselves as we bring this to God. Was If We're Honest by Francesca Ballastelli. I think that's such an amazing song. It just completely fits our retreat that if we're really honest and we bring our brokenness and we bring our choices to God, He will love us. And there is healing on the other side of that. And ladies, I can tell you, you take courage to get there Friday. And by the time you leave on Sunday, you will feel healing and feel God's love and be on the other side. And this past will not keep taking you down. You will be able to step up and move on and be available for what God has for you. We had our first retreat a year ago, and I just need to thank Pine Valley Bible Conference Camp again, because they sponsored our first year. It was just such a blessing and a gift. It was amazing how the retreat came about. But I first want to give you testimonials about last year and what happened there before I go into the other parks. We ran out of time. It's really important we don't run out of time on this retreat.
And you want to make sure they get the details of the date. And
yes. And our retreat is June 17th through the 19th. And it will be at Pine Valley Bible Conference Center again, which is just about a half an hour drive up out of San Diego, out of El Cajon. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful camp. It's a confidential setting where it's just, we're surrounded by the forest and God's beauty. And as I said earlier, we have a private meeting hall and lodges that will just be for our women. And they prepare delicious, healthy meals. And the best part is we don't have to do the dishes. We just set them aside and someone else does them for us, so we can just focus on the learning and the healing that God has for us.
And very important, every single woman that is a part of the retreat, the leaders and the people that are just coming, have all had abortions. So there's none of this, gee, if the others only knew what I did.
Yes, everyone in our group, including the leaders, we have six amazing leaders that God has raised up that are ready to be leading this weekend and loving you and serving you throughout the weekend. And it's such a privilege for the leaders to be able to work with the women that come. All of these women have been through a healing Bible study, if not once, several times. Many of them are involved in ministries in the pregnancy centers and so on. So these women are just, I feel so honored to work hand in hand with these women as we provide this weekend. And this year it will be from Friday night dinner to Sunday lunch. And it will just be an amazing weekend. It will go very quickly, ladies. And yet I know God is going to do an amazing thing for you. So last year we had several women, just so you can feel a little more comfortable about this, if you are contemplating this, we had several women who had never told anyone else in the world that they had ever had an abortion. We had some women that had never told the man who fathered the child. We had women who had one abortion and women who had multiple abortions. We had women who could not have children after their abortion. And we had women who experienced many other disappointments and devastations in their life around their abortion. One of the things we do Friday night to help women who are attending this to feel more comfortable, because I think sometimes people feel like I'm the only one that experienced this. I'm the only one. My past is unusual and nobody else can understand. But one of the things that we do that first night is we share what the leadership team, I'm going to only share a few of the things, but I'm going to share some of the things that are in the past of our leadership team, so that you can see, you will find someone you can relate to. Here are just some of the things that our leadership women have said are a part of their journey. They felt unworthy. They were not a Christian at the time. They hid the abortion from parents, developed eating disorder. The person was a Christian. Person married the father of the aborted child. Homelessness, depression, anorexia, bulimia, domestic violence, alcoholism, drugs, infertility, adultery, divorce, molestation, single parent, promiscuity, gave a child up for adoption, grew up in the church, lots of counseling, dysfunctional family, raised in a pastor's family. Those are just some of the many things our leadership women have experienced in their journeys. So there is someone who will be there that can relate to you. There is nothing in your past that will be a surprise to us. And certainly it's not a surprise to God. He knows all about you and he loves you and he's waiting for you to come to him. I think one of the things that was so astounding to me was when my mind could finally wrap around the idea that God knew when he was creating me, the decision I was going to make in my life at 19. And yet God still created me. And he allowed me to be and to have a life. And I am just absolutely in awe of the fact that even when God was creating me and knew I was going to choose abortion in my future, that he still allowed me to be made and born. And then further beyond that, for the 30 plus years I carried this secret, could never have fathomed there was anything good that God could do from that choice to have an abortion. And yet I'm sitting here on the air talking to I don't know how many people, saying to any woman out there listening, he can restore you and he can give you beauty for your ashes. He can turn your mourning into dancing. He can restore you. And I am absolutely amazed that God has taken what was so tragic in my life and caused so much harm for my baby and for me. And he is now allowing me to use that to help other women and to show them how God loves them and how much he cares about them. You are his daughter. And that makes you a princess because he's our king. So come to this retreat. Come and get away and let the king love you and heal you and show you his amazing forgiveness so that you can be released from this bondage and from the burden of carrying this. I can tell you that I physically felt a release when I finally went through the healing process. And I shared in our last show that I had not told anyone about my abortion for many, many, many years until I met Bob. And when we first started dating, I knew after a few months that I had to tell him because I was sure he was going to not want to be with me anymore as a pastor. And I thought, he will not understand this. And when I shared with him, it was pretty incredible that he saw instantly that I had not received any healing. That's because I had been very successful at pushing it down and ignoring the pain and burying it so that I could do life and move on and not think about it. And I am so grateful that Bob did take me through a process to heal. He helped me grieve and helped me come on the other side. And it really was a physical release from carrying that burden for almost 35 years. I don't want other women to carry the burden that long. So come to the retreat so that God can meet you there and can take care of that. And I can tell you, we've had women in our healing Bible studies that range from age 20 to mid 60s. So there's no age that would not be welcomed there. And come and let God heal you. And I am so grateful that Bob saw in me that I had not received healing because I would not, I did not even know where to go from there. I thought I was doing fine. And I am just so grateful that he did not turn me away. And I had the wonderful privilege of actually marrying him last summer.
Well, it's been a privilege for me to marry you. I still think I got the better end of that deal. And I can't imagine my life without you. And ladies, there's somebody out there that you're going to meet who can't imagine their lives without you if you're not already married. Don't think that because you've done this that you can't get forgiveness and healing.
Thank you for that. The theme verse for our retreat is Isaiah 61:3. And it goes like this: to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God wants to take our ashes, the sadness, the death, the mourning, the despair, and he wants to exchange that and give us crowns of garlands and oils of gladness and give us a mantle of praise. He wants to forgive us and give us the beauty that only he can do. And that's such an incredible thing that he can take something that is dead and gone, and he can restore it and bring life back. We are excited about this weekend, and it really was pretty amazing the way it came about. There were many, many years ago when I was working at Forest Home, as I shared earlier. I would be up there every summer. I lifeguarded up there in between each year at college as I was earning my teaching credential. And I would sit in the back of the large auditorium at Forest Home and listen to all these famous speakers up there. And I kept getting this overwhelming sense that God wanted me to be on the platform. He wanted me to speak. And I told him at the time, okay, just let me know what the topic will be, and I'll be happy to do that. As the years passed, that was when I was in my late teens and early 20s. And as the years passed, I didn't see any real opportunity come to me. And I started to then think, well, I must have misunderstood those visions of speaking, and that it wasn't what God had in mind. And then because of meeting Bob and starting to date him and confessing my sin of an abortion to him and him taking me through a healing process, all of that put together just put in motion a series of events that brought me to the place where I felt compelled to help other women now to be released from that burden. And I realized as I looked back over the years, I had grown up in the camping world. I had grown up at Forest Home and then had gone back there to work when I was in college. And growing up in the camping world, I knew the power of time away to be able to focus on what God wants to teach us, and a place to be just away from the distractions of the world where we can just focus on his teachings. I did not realize when God laid on my heart that my topic for speaking was going to be abortion, that I was actually paralyzed for a while because I thought, I can't possibly picture being able to talk about this publicly. There is no way. Okay, I feel the forgiveness and I can help other women privately, but I can't talk about this publicly. And then little by little, God was able to bring me through that and give me the courage to be able to speak up, because there are so many of us that have had this experience and yet none of us talk about it. And God said, I need you to talk about this. And God has just created an incredible weekend for us. He gave all the scriptures and the lessons, the gifts, the structure of this weekend that we have for the women. And he even took care of the special details, like having Pine Valley gift us the first year of the camp, Skyline Church supporting this ministry. It is a part of their women's ministries and under that umbrella for women to be able to be healed and restored. He raised up the women for leadership that will be there, that will take care of the women and serve. And he even took care of providing all the supplies and the things that we needed for the weekend. He went shopping with me for about a year for all the different supplies and the things that we want to give to women. And that was a really exciting thing because every time I'd go to a store and I'd think, okay, this would be really great to provide for the women. And then I go in and what I was thinking of would be just an amazing sale Even the checkers would say, wow, I didn't know we sold them for this little amount and so on. And that's how I knew God wanted these things for the retreat. And so he just put together a wonderful weekend where you can be away and focus on him and through his word, be able to be healed and find a way to get past this and move on. So again, let me give the details for our weekend. It is June 17th through the 19th, about a month away. It will begin Friday night at dinner, go through Sunday at lunch. It's at Pine Valley Bible Conference Center in the mountains. And the way you can get information about the weekend is to go on Bob's website, and all the information will be there and a way to contact me as well.
And don't worry, even though you're getting the information on my website, I will not be on the retreat. It'll only be women. But on my website, you can get the information if you forget.
That is true. And I also want to just take a moment to thank. We had a private donor that gave a gift anonymously after our show that we talked just a couple of weeks ago about the retreat coming up. And that was such a blessing and such an encouragement to me. So I want to thank that donor again. I know he's listening and we appreciate that. And that will help women go to the weekend that would not be able to go otherwise. So thank you for that. I want to close our session by just reminding women, in case you're not sure if you're still struggling with this decision in the past, because again, if you were like me, you did not know it was causing any issues in your life until you look back over it and allow yourself to think about it. But some of the significant signs of stress that can come from choosing an abortion in your life, can affect you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And they come, this comes from The Healing the Hurt, a book by Terry and Paul Reiser, Focus on the Family, published this book in 2010. And these are some of the significant signs of stress that they list. Guilt from violating your own sense of morality, self-destructive behaviors such as eating disorders, alcoholism or substance abuse or just alcohol abuse, abuse of relationships or promiscuity, experiencing events related to the abortion such as memories or nightmares that involve the loss of your baby, anxiety that leads to headaches, dizziness, pounding heart, abdominal cramps, muscle tightness, difficulty sleeping, psychological numbing, your unconscious vow that you will never let anything hurt you again this badly, and it may hamper your ability to enjoy an emotional, intimate relationship. Depression, which reveals itself through deep sadness, sudden or uncontrollable crying, poor self-concept, sleep or appetite disturbances, loss of normal sources of pleasure, and even thoughts of suicide. Preoccupation with becoming pregnant again, an unconscious hope of replacing the baby you aborted, and anxiety over fertility and childbearing issues, fearing that God will punish you by not letting you have children. That is not our God. He does not work that way. God stands ready to forgive you and heal you and restore you. So please, women, join us for this weekend at Pine Valley, where God can meet you and you can be healed.
As you can tell, Dana is a very warm, inviting, disarming presence. Hope as many of you as possible can make it, and I will see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.